All right, Wednesday, man, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for allowing me to spend just a couple minutes talking about how good God is and how much I love you all and appreciate you. And thanks for letting me hang out with you. Huh? 8 years, man. Can you believe that? And I still love you like it was yesterday. Oh, man, Cuban coffee. And if we just sat here and talked about all the funny stuff and good times, we'd be here all morning, until morning time, wouldn't we? So maybe we'll do that after eating some of this cake. I should have brought Cuban coffee. That would have been nice. So we'll see what happens. All right, Book of Acts. We just thank the Lord again Wednesday night. Love everybody. Here's a couple statements I made from last time, and I hope y'all don't mind me rehearsing. It just helps us to keep on track to where we were. And for some of you that slept during that service, you can pick up where you left off. All right, the greatest threat to a liar is the truth. It exposes their heart of deception. That's what I'm saying. You got somebody in your family that's just a teetotal liar. Just keep talking truth. Hammer them every day with truth. Just truth, 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 truth. Just tell them the word of God. It'll either draw them closer to Jesus or they're going to run away from you. But, I mean, it's a seed, so do that. And also use that in your times of conflict against the enemy. Truth will always outlive the persecution of those who persecute. Who persecuted, or always will, and you can kill the messenger, but you can't kill his message. Sometimes the right word spoken at the right time can change a dire situation into a moment of favor, and that's so true. So just continue to speak it. You don't know, you know, if you're in a bad situation right now, whatever's going on in your life, and, you know, the enemy's coming against you or what have you, just continue to ask God to give you the words to say, and when he'll give you those words to say, and that could turn everything around. So Acts chapter 23, we talked about what a testimony about Paul, and Ananias rejected the clear conscience of Paul's Christianity, and we went through all that, and then Paul, he just has the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, man, and he brings out the point of resurrection. And then he's got them fist fighting, you know, just about. So God will give you that word in due season. He'll give you what to say. And then he'll flip the whole thing around for your favor. How many of you have been there before? We've all been there at one time or another. The problem most of us have, watch this. This is extra. Don't cost you nothing. The biggest problem we all have as Christians during our battles is we forgot what God did the last time. Because we have seasons of time. We go through a conflict, and then it's relative peace, and then that time goes by. We forget what God did. We get into another battle, and we scream and yell, and we run around the porch and don't know what to do. Come on, kicking the dog or whatever. Just, you know, all upset at the world and freaking out. And then God just goes, "Do you remember?" And you go, "Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, I got it." So the key is to not forget the victories. Don't forget the battles. Remember what God did for you. And so that's something important to remember. Remember, there was about 40 people. Man, they were assassins. They were fierce. They were zealots. They were like Judas Iscariot. They were going to take Paul out. And then what happened? Paul gets word of it, right, from his nephew. And just an amazing testimony. And then you know, the word gets out, and then Paul is moved to Caesarea. So here we go. The book of Acts for tonight. Here's some things to write down. The greater the truth we speak, the harder the persecution will be. Well, thanks, Pastor. It's the truth. The greater the truth we speak, the harder the persecution we will face. It's going to, or will be upon us. So you have to speak the truth. And if you're wondering, man, why all of a sudden there's an uptick in everybody picking on me? How come it feels like the devil lost everybody's address but mine and his Rolodex? How come it feels like I'm on speed dial? You know, sometimes it's because you've been increasing in the truth. You've been increasing in telling people about the gospel. Whatever you're doing, you're speaking truth, and it just causes the persecution to increase. So basically, don't be surprised when it happens, all right? You cannot accurately and honestly prosecute truth without bending it. Let me read it to you again. I read it slow. You cannot accurately and honestly persecute truth or prosecute truth without bending it. In other words, when you speak truth and someone comes up against you and tries to accuse you, they're going to have to bend that truth to accuse you. Because you stood up in truth, you spoke it, whether it was biblical truth or factual truth, whatever was going on in your life, if you speak that truth, those that are going to try to prosecute you for that truth, they're going to have to bend it. Amen? So in other words, I'm not lying for you. I'm not compromising my story. I'm not compromising the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not compromising my relationship. I'm going to speak the truth. Okay? So if you're going to prosecute me, if you're going to harm me, you're going to have to bend it, but I'm not bending it for you, pal. You don't have to put pal in there, but that's kind of my thing. And then finally, truth will always plead guilty for what it stands for. Truth will always plead guilty for what it stands for. Yep, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of preaching the gospel, man. I'm guilty of telling the truth and what have you. Okay, so we're going to see all that here as we teach. We are in chapter what? 24. Woo-hoo. We're getting there, man. I don't know what we're going to do afterwards, but maybe we'll start in Genesis and just go ahead all the way down. Head on over. Okay, so chapter 24, let's go. He's in Caesarea. This is Paul. This is very interesting. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended. Yeah, he descended with the elders and with a certain orator. Check this out. With a certain orator, Tertullius. That's how you pronounce his name, Tertullius. Who informed the government against the governor against Paul. So what do we have here? We have basically he was a paid pleader. He was a paid pleader. He pleaded on the behalf of the Jews and the high priest. He was basically a type of lawyer. So here's Paul in Caesarea. He's brought there. He's doing everything he can to stay afloat, if you will. God's protecting him, and Jesus had to come visit him and say, it's going to be okay. You're going to go to Rome. But still, I'm in Caesarea. I'm not in Rome yet. And that's pretty bad that you got to come visit me to keep me from freaking out. So something bad's coming. You understand? I mean, the Lord doesn't just, these people that say, well, the Lord visited me, and the Lord came over and had coffee with me the other day, and the Lord vacuumed for me, and the Lord folded my clothes, and Gabriel came over and cleaned the pool out for me. I'm just like, really? But people believe it, and YouTube channels are full of that stuff. I'm like, I've been wanting to say this for the longest time. Jesus is not your errand boy. Please stop listening to these people that tell you that Jesus came and washed their feet and did all this stuff. He is not your errand boy. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And can he manifest himself any way he wants to? Yes, he can. Can he visit anybody at any time? Yes, he can. He's got a passport. He can do what he wants to do. But a lot of these stories are phony baloney. And people believe it and they like sensationalism. I like the Bible. I like truth. Okay, when Jesus comes to visit you, it's something serious. There's something going on. There's something he wants you to tell the world, or something's happening. Anyways, I just look at things practical, and I'm open for him to visit me anytime. That's for sure. That's the way my relationship is. But check this out. They have this guy. He is literally called a professional pleader. That's what he is. So think about Paul. He's gone through all this stuff, and now they have to hire somebody to talk bad about Paul. Now, you know you've got a bad day and things are going bad when you have somebody, your enemy's paying somebody to talk bad about you. That's pretty bad, isn't it? But they literally hired this guy, Tertullius. That's how you say his name, Tertullius, kind of a odd name. But that's what he did. So he informed the governor against Paul. So he was kind of like a snitch at the whole nine yards. All right? This is crazy. Now, verse 2, and when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing thou by thee, we enjoy great quietness. I'm sorry, I just had to act like this guy, because what a blowhard. Read what I'm reading with you. Watch this. All quietness, that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. We accept it as always in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. What a bunch of blah. No wonder he was paid, Brother Mike. You paid me too. I'd be like putting the butter on, man, and the sugar and woo. Felix, man, you're awesome, dude. What a bunch of garbage. I wrote it in here. Hot air. Kiss up. You know why? Historically, Felix was corrupt. He was a corrupt governor. He was gnarly. He was nasty. He caused all kinds of things. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself, but later on in his career as a governor, he got in trouble because of an insurrection that was taking place. He sent the army in a strong manner, killed a bunch of high-ranking Jews, officials, and he got in trouble over it. So he was a spotty fellow. He had an issue. But this guy's kissing up. Isn't that like the devil? Isn't that like your enemies? You know, they want to just pour it on you. Verse 4, notwithstanding, I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee, oh, I really want to use another voice, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. I wrote, give me a break in my notes, so you can put that down if you want. Verse 5, all of us have met somebody like this. Boss, 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 I saw Brother Mike, you know, something, always something. It's somebody always ratting on you, you know. For we have found the man of pestilent fellow. Now, I want you to write this down. Some translations already have this, but the word there means a pest or a plague. So he pumps up Felix. Then he turns his attention towards Paul and says, you're a pest. You roach, you whatever slug, whatever kind of bug you want to come up with. He basically called him a bug or a plague. This is ridiculous. Watch this. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sects of the Nazarenes. Basically, this guy, I mean, what was Paul? Paul Soprano? You would think we were watching The Sopranos. Paul's on trial, and this guy, because here's what he said to him. Not only is Paul a pest and a plague, he basically lied, and he expanded the charges and said Paul was guilty of insurrection. And Paul was not. Paul never did anything. They beat him up. They threw him in jail. The riots were against Paul always. Paul didn't cause any stirring up. What happened in Ephesus and all those things with with Diana and all that was them being rattled because of what Paul did by preaching the gospel. And I looked at them, I'm like, what is this? Some type of crime family type of trial? This is amazing what Paul is going through. And I look back at my life and my life now, and I think, man, I don't have it too bad when people get mad at me. He's a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Verse 6, who also has gone about and profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged him according to our law. Here's what I put in my notes for that. We would have judged him according to our law. We would have killed him. They were going to kill him. So here's this liar lying about what they were going to do with Paul. They were going to kill Paul because it's written that if you profane the temple, you're dead. But Paul didn't profane the temple. And Paul wasn't a leader of no sect. And Paul was not a part of being in an insurrection or an insurrectionist. Paul just preached. I can't help it if demons fly out of your favorite witchcraft slave, and people get healed and raised from the dead, and blinded eyes open, and deaf ears become unstopped, and the lame walk, and the dumb speak. What you want me to do about that? So they're harming him, they're slamming him, they're lying against him, they're accusing him, and that's exactly what the devil does to you and I. He lies against us. Let me say this to you. If you're ever in a conflict and the first thing that comes against you is slander about your character, you either need to remove yourself from that whole situation or prepare for a battle, prepare for persecution, because that's the devil. I've had many so-called Christians begin by castigating me and then tell me they love me and bless me and all those different things. And as soon as you start castigating, I know you're of the wrong spirit. Who made you judge? Right? And that's what the devil does. I don't have time to go in the book of Revelation to talk about it. I've taught that before about the accuser of the brethren who brings those charges against the saints of God to accuse them. And it's almost an accusation unto death. Be careful of people who do that to you. If you can't come to me in love, you know, it's no problem if you have the issue. We'll talk about the issue, but don't come out castigating and blasting with both shotgun barrels because you're in the wrong spirit, and I shouldn't do it to you either. All right, verse 6. So I said that already, but profaned the temple. Verse 7, but the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. Can you write rescue next to that? Thank God. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom myself thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things thereof, we accuse him. So here he is. He's still just blowing a bunch of smoke, bunch of lies. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. So Paul gives him an honor, and then he begins to speak. And verse 11 says, because thou mayest understand that there are yet 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. So Paul begins in the beginning. He said, look, this has all happened just in this period of time. I went up there to go worship. I have the right to go worship. He's pleading his case. He's speaking truth. Verse 12, and they neither found me in the temple, disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, whether in the synagogues nor in the city. So he says, okay, I was chilled out. I didn't do anything wrong. I could have, I wanted to. But, you know, the council there, the apostles kind of said, I'm sure, hey, Paul, why don't you take it down a notch? We got this. Let's get through this high season, this high festival time, this feast time before they draw blood like they did with Jesus. So Paul's like, okay. So Paul went through a little bit of an appeasement, if you will, not compromise, as we talked about. Verse 13, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God. Watch the wisdom of the Lord here. Worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there should be a what? Resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So Paul is using truth. He's saying, yeah, I'm guilty of speaking of the resurrection. Now remember, he used that weapon of wisdom and truth given to him by the Holy Ghost to bring division to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But now he's bringing it back out because he knows that the Pharisees are in the room again. Paul's very, very wise, okay, under the Holy Spirit's direction. We need to learn from that. So he says, verse 16, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offenses towards God and towards men. He said all this already to Ananias. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to the nation and offerings. I want you to see that, alms to the nation and offerings. When Paul came and brought those offerings to the synagogue, to the temple, he came also giving to the nation. It was a form of a gift back to the nation. So Paul was doing the righteous thing. He was not only supporting the temple and the work thereof and using that as a fig leaf, if you will, a way of relationship, but he was also honoring his country. So here you see Paul very honorable. And no wonder he can stand up and say, my conscience is clear. You're the one with the problem. I haven't done anything wrong. That's powerful. So that's the whole vein we've been talking about with truth. And Paul really, really showed truth. Okay? Verse 18, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. In other words, I was at peace. It's like being at the just worshiping at the altar, and all of a sudden people run up against you and they say, there he is, there he is. Verse 19, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. So Paul's like this great lawyer. He's like, where's my accusers? Ananias and this group, they're accusing me on hearsay. They have to hire a lawyer to lie and expand my charges. And the ones that actually saw and said that I did this, they're not even here. Boom, boom. I mean, he's just laying them out, man, left and right, uppercuts. I mean, what a beautiful defense. And notice this, it's all by the Holy Spirit. That's why I say, don't worry about if you're being persecuted, people speaking against you. God will give you the words to say. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the ability to speak life. The greatest challenge you and I have is not getting in the flesh. Come on, wave at me like you got a pulse. Because first thing we want to do is, well, let me tell you something, sucker. Or whatever. Come on now, let me tell you. We want to get in the flesh, don't we? We want to have an attitude. We ready. Flo taught me a long time ago, God don't like ugly. So don't be ugly, right? Mama used to say this, you better watch the words you say, you may eat them, right? So, but it's hard, isn't it? Because I'm ready to say something. We all are. Come on, man. You go to Walmart and you're looking for every Christian cuss word you can find. I mean, just life in you have to watch Tim Hawkins to find Christian cuss words. They're very funny. They're not cuss words. They're just words we don't have nothing to say, man. Anyways, it's so true. But Paul, this is beautiful. I love seeing this because it helps me, and it teaches a lot, because we sure want to cut people down immediately. Verse 19, he says that they should be here. Verse 20, or else let these same hearsay, if they have found any doing in me, which I stood before the council. So then he brings it back to them. He throws it in their lap and says, "That what did I do wrong when I was with you guys? Nothing. I stood up to say I was innocent and you punched me in the mouth." Paul, wow. I mean, Jesus, as soon as we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. And I'm just going to go see Paul and say, bro, wow, man, you were, wow. That was amazing how you kept your peace and you kept your, you know, because I'm telling you, for us, I don't know if we can get there, but maybe we can, right? Watch this. Somebody says, I'm trying. He said, I found no evil in your sight, verse 21, except it be for one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. Again, Paul brings it right back, the truth, right back at him. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. So, you know, Paul did a great defense under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He helps him. Now he's in a position where he's got to wait. Now, he said that he kept him and gave him liberty. So basically, Paul was in a military encampment, but he wasn't under great restraint. He could have friends. He could come in and out, kind of like a probation type of thing. He wasn't free to leave and go any distance, but he had that freedom to bring people in and out. So Paul was in a bad situation, but Paul was not too bad compared to some of the jails and prisons he's been in, okay? So watch verse 24. And after certain days when Felix came with his wife, Dorcilia, that's a hard name to say, Dorcilia, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him according concerning the faith in Christ. So it was really Dorcilia that wanted to know more about Paul. She was really interested in Paul being a Jewish of that heritage. And so she wanted to meet him. So watch verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Watch this. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for some time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Basically, here's the deal. Paul was speaking of temperance, which this guy didn't have very many morals. He was doing all kinds of bad stuff. He wasn't a good governor. It spoke of righteousness. What else did he speak of? The judgment to come. These judgment and temperance and righteousness. So he's speaking of these things to this guy Felix, who's basically a scab. He's basically a lowlife with a robe. He's a lowlife with a crown or authority. And so Paul was hammering him. But if you go back into history and antiquities and you study the whole Josephus and historical understanding, Felix had taken this woman, Dorcilius, as his wife, but he stole her from her husband, from her first husband. She was 16 years old. And he used a magician and witchcraft and magic and was able to get her away from this guy. So he was in sin. He was an adulterer. He was a fornicator. He was a trickster. He was all these different things. And so Paul, according to history, he laid it out. Remember what happened to John the Baptist? He lost his head over that. See, it was the same scenario. See, that tells you what kind of man of God Paul was. Paul was like, "I'm going to tell you the truth. You got me. I'm in a confinement. I'm underneath your care. I'm underneath your concern. I'm underneath your trial. I'm underneath your paid lawyer. But I'm going to tell you right now, you want to know about Christ? Let me tell you about Christ. But I'm also going to tell you about your sin." That's a man of truth. That's a man or a woman of God, and that's what we should be. I'm sure Paul did it with all meekness. I'm sure he didn't just start slamming him. He just laid it out, and he said, "Hey, here's the deal." And then Felix trembled. It really, really bothered Felix because Paul exposed him to the power of the Holy Spirit. But the next thing you see is he said what? "I'll come back to you when the time is convenient." That time never happened. Not in that scenario. What does that tell you? That tells you when people, and you know this because we've all experienced this, we've witnessed to somebody, and man, we almost got them on the hook. And they'll say, "Well, I'll come back to church another time, or I'll hear it later." And guess what? You don't ever see them again, or they die, or what? Something happens, and they don't come back to that season, that opportunity. Amen? What do you do in a situation like that? Paul's kind of, he's trapped in that situation, but he gave him the word. I think for us, we just keep pressing in the best we can. So watch this, verse 26, "And he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, whereof he sent him for the more often and commune with him." What was he doing? He was coming to Paul trying to get a ransom off of him. He wanted Paul to pay him. He didn't come back to hear about the gospel. He had enough guts to come back to get money, but he didn't have guts to come back for that opportunity to hear the word. But he was going to Paul to ask for money. And the reason why he was asking Paul for money is because he saw all the people that Paul was visiting, that they were visiting Paul. Paul was not a pest and a plague and a lowlife. Paul was an ambassador. He was a man of God. So Luke, the physician, was there, and other people came in. Surely there were people that didn't have prestige or money, but Felix saw an opportunity. I can get some money off this dude. Now watch this. You know what's so sad about this? Because history records that Felix was a slave. before he ever became governor, and he got his freedom by the emperor Claudius. And so you see Matthew chapter 18 here, where the man who was forgiven all the debts, it says about 1,000 talents, is really about $1 million. He was forgiven his debts. The king said, go your way. Do you remember that? Matthew chapter 18. He goes his way and he finds somebody that owes him money. What does he do? He beats him and throws him into jail. The stewards of the king find out, and what do? They tell the king, and the king is furious. And so he grabs that guy, and he takes him, and he ridicules him, and he tells him what he's going to do to him. And what did he do? He sent him to the tormentors until he could pay his bill. This man Felix forgot he was a slave. This man Felix forgot that he was in bondage and he was in chains and he was in the same situation that Paul was, and he forgot it because of money. Wow. Can you believe that? And here's Paul. Paul knows these things. And he's like, are you kidding me? How worse can these characters get around me? How worse can this be? And come on, when you think about your life today, you don't have nothing like this. Everything's pretty good for y'all, isn't it, right? Everything's pretty good for me. When I look at this, and Paul's like, you want money from me, and all you're doing is hanging out with me just for my money. This is absolutely unbelievable. And again, knowing that he was in that situation. And you can find that story, Matthew chapter 18, 21 through 35. If you want to take it down in your notes. What a great lesson for you and I to realize that we were once lost, but now we're found. So how can we look down on those who are lost? You and I were slaves to drugs and alcohol. How dare we condescend and castigate those? We speak against those things. We try to bring people out of it and snap them out of it and bring them into realization of love and conviction. But we can't forget that that's where we were. And we minister to them in love. And we extend a hand and life and a lifeline to them. Wow, what a hypocrite he was. So Paul's in a bad situation. You got this guy wanting money. Paul just wants to get him saved. And then verse 27, but after 2 years, everybody say 2 years. Wow. 2 years. All Paul was going to do was go to Jerusalem, pay his alms, give his offering, go visit the apostles, pray, and get out of town. 2 years later, he's in Caesarea. He's in a military compound. He's got a little bit of liberty, at least for the moment. He's got liars to his left, jokers to the right. Here I am in the, y'all remember that one? Here I am. Okay. All the old, yeah. Everybody else is like, what is he talking about? I even forgot who sung that song anyways. I'm going to be singing another way. Here I am stuck in the middle with you. All right. After 2 years, he's there. You got to love this. Are you ready for this? Porcios. After 2 years, Porcios Festus came into Felix's room. Did you hear what I said? Porcios. Porcios. That's how you spell pronounce his name. It's Porcios. This is ridiculous. Paul's got all kinds of problems, and here comes Porky the Pig. That's really, Porcius is his name. Porcius Festus, which means Porcius Festival. You got to laugh. He's probably like, are you kidding me? I got a guy named Porky, you know, Porky the Pig over here, that's now going to be over my sentence and over my time here. I wrote that down. I giggled. I laughed. Porcios. Porky the Pig. That is hilarious. Anyway, so here's Porky. Porky the Pig. Felix leaves. And then it says, Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Isn't that like the devil? See, Felix was in big trouble. Let me tell you something about Felix, too. Just as a way of history, you put it in your knowledge and your information there. It's good to know. Felix's brother, Paulius, was a member of the high court, and he was also very rich. I mentioned him being in the high court before, but he was a very rich guy. And anytime Felix got in trouble and the information and the report went to Nero, Paulius was able to block it because of his power and prestige, and so it was able to protect Felix. It's like that big brother taking care of the little brother. And so it made him more evil and do evil things. And so basically that was kind of his jab to Paul. He says, okay, you know, I'm going to be removed. I'm moving on. He actually gets out of office not long after. This guy, Porcius, he doesn't last long. I think a couple of years and he dies. That was a good segue to make a joke, but I won't. I was going to say they found him with an apple in his mouth. But, I mean, you know, come on. You look at this stuff and you're like, the Father puts, these things are funny. If you look at the Bible, there's a lot of funny things in there that God puts it in there to let you see that. Because I don't know too many people named Porcius. Do you? Porcius, and here he is over the great apostle Paul, and you're going to dictate and govern this man's future and his destiny and blah, blah, blah. It's just hilarious to me. But at the end here, as we close, he put him in bonds. He literally chained him up and made him, just like they said, a pest and a plague. And somebody who was honorable, an ambassador, a great apostle of faith, an apostle to the Gentiles, is now bound in that position as a trophy, if you will, to the Jews. Is a very sad indictment indeed, but shows you the depth of how wretched this guy Felix was. And so we're going to get into chapter 25, and we're going to talk about some great things in there. And man, we just got a little more to go. But here's a takeaway I want you to have. Just remember, always speak the truth. Be ready to be persecuted for that truth. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how things go. If you always stand on the side of truth, God will always be there with you. And he'll make a way for you when there seems to be no way. Somebody says, well, you know, how was God with Paul? Paul was touching lives everywhere he went. Paul was making history in every station of his life, even when it was negative. And I think that's what we miss. And let me say this in closing. I think this is what we miss as Christians, is we look for the high part of life. We look for the lights, and we look for name, and we look for boom and bam and all this stuff. And we say that's success, and this is the only place that I could be used of God. And that's such a lie. God uses you in every station. If you're in a crisis, God can use you in that station if you are churning it towards victory and speaking truth and saying, you know what, I may be in a hard time right now, but let me tell you how good God is. Let me tell you something. You will confuse and anger the devil more than he already is. And I'm going to tell you, and God just will increase favor on you and bless you. And before you know it, you've been translated and transplanted out of that issue into the victory side of it, just by keeping the faith and using the words of truth as your weapon and tools. Amen? Come on, we're going to do that, and we're going to make it happen in Jesus' mighty name. Father, thank you for this opportunity to talk about the Apostle Paul. Really, we're just seeing the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same spirit that lives in the Apostle Paul, that lives in all of us. The same spirit rose you from the dead. And I know that we can do great and mighty things in the last days as we watch the Apostle Paul do so. And no matter who's persecuting us, it don't matter who's against us, no matter what their name may be, greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. Father, bless your people. Give us a great, great ending to our week, and I sure look forward to Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.